for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, May the 28th, 2010. Carla Batard is the speaker of this service, teaching on the spirit of fear.
You know, Brother Jim only lives about 80 miles from me.
Amen.
And I had to come all the way to Arkansas to meet him. And so I've spent many nights in his church listening to the message of deliverance. And so I just want to thank Lake Hamilton for giving me an opportunity to come and to share what the Lord has taught me over the years and been blessed to receive deliverance in many areas of my life. Now, last night we had a very good message on trusting the Lord. And I want to start by reading some scriptures that will lead us into the subject matter here this afternoon. It is written, Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Isaiah 41:13, "Fear not, I will help thee." Psalm 27:1, "The Lord, my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 34, I don't have the number here. "I sought the Lord and He healed me and delivered me from all my fears." Psalm 56:3, "When I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He who doth go with thee, for He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Moses to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31:7, "Be strong and of good courage." Verse 8, "In the Lord, He who doth go before thee, He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." The Lord to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous." Verse 9, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest." Psalm 91:5, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee." Isaiah 59:19, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood," now you can read this two ways. When the enemy comes in like a flood, because when he comes, he usually comes like a flood. He just knocks you off your feet. "The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." Or you can read it like this. "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." In Matthew 6:25. I'm going to read this from the Word because it's too long to. Matthew 6:25. "Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by being anxious can add one cubit unto his stature? And why are ye anxious for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, be not anxious, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be therefore not anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is its own evil. And in Philippians 4, verse 6, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So you see from these scriptures, and these are not all of them, just some, that address fear. Fear is something that held me in bondage for the first 30 years of my life. I was 30 years old when God delivered me from the spirit of fear. And it is a spirit, and it is an evil spirit. It's not something that you can control with your determination. It's a strong man. It's a ruler spirit, and it will have a stronghold in your life. And we all deal with fear, different fears for whatever we're going through in our lives and at different times of our lives. But the Word says, it is written in 2 Timothy 1:7, For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. The definition of the word fear is timidity from the Strong's Concordance. It means timidity, to fear. Feelings are showing a lack of courage or self-confidence. Shy, easily frightened. It means dread, which is an intense aversion and reluctance to face something. That's what happens to us. When we don't want to face something, it's because fear has come in. The Webster definition of fear, I like what Dr. Null used to say, people may argue with you about the definition from the Strong's Concordance, which in the New Testament is a Greek definition, but nobody will ever argue with you over the Webster Dictionary. So I always like to put the Webster Dictionary definition in there also. Fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by expectation. Expectation of danger or awareness of danger. So it's an expectation. Fear in us is an expectation of something that's going to happen, a danger or a dread. That word expectation means the act or state of expecting. You expect to see whatever it is you have an expectation of. Synonyms for fear are fright, panic, great anxiety, and usually a loss of courage. Panic implies completely dominating fear. It completely dominates you. And that causes hysterical or unmanageable activity. Now that's what I used to have of the things that I was afraid of. I was afraid of bees. I mean a bee. I mean how bad can a bee sting be? I don't like them, but I mean it was an unmanageable. It caused me to have unmanageable behaviors. Like the bee came in here in those years, and it came right up to me. I would forget that I was sitting in a room full of people and jump up and run and swat and swing my arms, and I was just terrified. I don't know why. It was unreasonable, but fear is. And shots. In junior high school, it was mandatory that we take some kind of injection. I don't even remember what it was. But I remember being lined up against that wall down the hall, and they were at the end of that line up at the front. They were giving these injections. And the longer I stood in that line, the more afraid I was. And when it came time for me, they had to drag me. I had my heels dug in, and it was just ridiculous. I made an absolute spectacle of myself over that shot. But that's what fear does. Fright, panic. 1 John 4:18 says that there is no fear in love. No fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. Boy, I can attest to that. I lived in utter torment. Torment means punishment. The infliction of torture, like being on a rack or a wheel. Now, back in the old days, they would put people on this rack and tie their hands and tie their feet, and at both ends, they're stretching. And it was terrible. Causing extreme pain or anguish of body or mind. Agony, a source of vexation or pain. All of those have to do with fear. Fear is not something you can control. You know, I could tell myself next time a bee comes in the room, I'm not going to do that. But if a bee came in the room, just a replay of the same thing every time. Went to the beach with my brother and sister-in-law one time. My brothers are older than I am, and I was in junior high school when my oldest brother got married, and we had gone to the beach, and we were all sunbathing on the beach towels, and a bee came around. And I had an umbrella, and I took off running, and that bee was just determined. And I was swatting and swinging, broke the umbrella. You know, everybody's on the beach watching this spectacle. But I didn't care. It didn't matter. I mean, fear does not care who's looking. When you are in fear, and you know what it is? It's almost like you have it in your mind that if that thing that you're fearing happens to you, you are going to die. It's going to kill you. And I'll get to that scripture in a minute. But we've been given love, power, and a sound mind. Now, in Strong's, the word power means the ability to do miracles. Miraculous power, mighty deeds, and strength. Love means, as in affection and benevolence, it means charity. And this is talking about God's love, the love of God. That is the perfect love that is able to cast out all fear. So if God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, then who did? Where did fear come from? So I want us to look at the very first mention of fear in the Bible, if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 3. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where are ye? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, The woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And I want to stop right there. Because what we see here is the first mention of fear in the Bible. And it came because of their rebellion against God. It came because they believed the lie of the enemy over what God had said. And so any area in your life that fear is knocking at your door is an area, if you have fear in that area, then it's possible that you have believed the lie of the enemy concerning whatever it is that you're fearing. Because that's where it came in. And it's just like sin. Now, it's not, we don't have to do anything for fear to come into our life. It came in right there. Bam. And then every person that was born after Adam and Eve sinned. Fear, that the spirit of fear came into us. We were born with it. We didn't have to be taught to fear. We just have it because of sin. Okay. Now, the result of their disobedience was fear. So what did they do? They hid themselves. And, you know, we tend to do that. Aren't we just so funny to think that we can hide ourselves from God when we have sinned? He sees us at all times. He saw us when the sin took place. He wants you to be reconciled to Him. But most of the time, because of our guilt, our shame, our condemnation, our disappointment in ourselves, we will hide from God. We will stay away from Him because of that fear of punishment. And really what He wants to do is to extend His love to you and be reconciled. And then that fear can be gone. I like to take care of things quickly when things happen because I don't like the torment. It's a conscience thing. It was born into me. Some people have a stronger sense of that than others. I have others in my family that can do a wrong and it doesn't seem to bother them at all. And then there are others in the family who, when they've done something wrong or they feel that they've done something wrong, they will quickly go. My oldest son would stand out on the porch. I used to, when they would get home from school, I'd have a snack for him and I would walk exercise around the block in the place that we lived at the time. And he was out on the porch and he was just yelling something to me, and I was way down the road and I thought, y'all know I can't understand what he's saying. So when I got right up to the house, I said, What is it? He said, I made a prank phone call. He was about 9. I said, Well, stop it. I mean, you know, but he's always had that quick conscience that as soon as he did something, he wanted it off of his conscience. And that's a good thing to have because you will, instead of running from God, you will run to Him. To confess that thing and to get it dealt with so that it doesn't cause that torment. In years before, I would worry about it. If I had done something, I would just worry about it. It would give me a stomachache. And it would give me a headache. And I would have stress over the thing. And so that's the torment whenever you do something. Instead of being reconciled, what does he say? If you will confess your sin, that he will forgive you and cleanse you from unrighteousness. And then that thing is gone, that torment. And so we see that fear came in right there in the garden. And the problem with that is that we were designed to live in peace. We were created to live in peace. In John 14:1, it's talking about the peace that Jesus gave to us, John 14:1, he says, Let not your heart be troubled. let not your heart be troubled. And then over in verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus does not want us to be fearful. He does not want us to be afraid. There are stories in the Bible where fear, when something wrong was done, will cause you to lie. Abram was going from one place to another, and he had his wife with him, and she was beautiful. And they were traveling through a land, and he feared that they would kill him so that the king of that land could take her into his harem. So he would say, hey, tell them you're my sister. You know, that way they won't have to kill me. So fear will cause you to lie. King David, to hide his sin for fear that it would be known, killed a man. And sometimes people will kill other people to keep their secret from being exposed. It will also, it will cause you to be ineffective. It can cause the strongest person to become very weak. Like Elijah. I mean, right after his feet on Mount Carmel, calling down fire from heaven and the whole spectacular event that took place there, and then Jezebel's out to kill him, and he goes and hides in a cave. See, fear will cause you to hide. It'll cause you to run. It'll cause you to lie. You don't want to let that thing grow and grow and grow, because it can do a lot of damage and get you into a lot of trouble. So we were designed to live in peace. But Luke 21:26 says that in the last days, men's hearts shall fail them for fear. Heart attacks sometimes are caused by fear. I know that, like that Enron thing, when the corruption was discovered, one or two of those men died of a heart attack because of what was going to follow when they were found out. Even in the hometown that I grew up, there was a bank scandal, and one of the men at the bank, when it hit the news, that man dropped dead with a heart attack. So fear can cause your heart to fail. But Hebrews 2:15 says of Jesus, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So fear of death is something that we all have. Fear of death. Some of us have overcome the fear of death. When you enter into Jesus Christ and know you will have eternal life, that should take the sting of the fear of death away. Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit, there's a bondage that comes with that spirit of fear, with the fear of death. My husband and I, when there are things, when I first begin to deal with this spirit of fear, because what happens is that perfect love of God drives out all fear, right? We just read that a while ago. There is no fear in love. And that's what delivered me from the spirit of fear. When I was 30 years old, I had an encounter with Jesus. I'm not going to give that whole testimony. It's another story. But I had suffered a 4-year depression. And quite frankly, I didn't want to live anymore the way that I was living. I was in such despair and darkness, and my marriage was basically, when we lived together, we never got a divorce, but it was over. You know, in my heart, it was over. And I couldn't sleep. I just was in a terrible, terrible dark place. And so I was crying out to God, and I had an encounter with Jesus. And He poured out His love on me. And that love, receiving that love from Him, it absolutely did drive out all fear. All the fears Now, what fears did I have? Well, okay, when I was a little girl, I had a fear of death. It was very present. Being killed, stabbed in particular, where that came from, or smothered, just unable to breathe. Now, I was born with asthma. Nobody else in our family had asthma. Don't know where it came from. But I, you know, after I got a little older, I didn't have asthma anymore. But asthma attacks can be brought on by fear. Or I would have nightmares when I was a little girl. One of them was being tickled. A stranger would come into the house and they would tickle me until I couldn't breathe. It was always had to do with dying because they would tickle me until I could not breathe. Pain. I was fearful of any kind of pain, like the bee sting or a shot. But also, I wouldn't go barefooted. I have never gone barefooted in my whole life because I was afraid I would step on a rusty something or other and have to go get a shot. I'm telling you, fear is huge. I had terrible claustrophobia. I got trapped in a phone booth one time. I'll never forget. I was a little girl. My great uncle had died, and my dad was going to meet the body at the train station. And they had one of those old-timey phone booths where you push the door and it folds in, and then you get in and it folds out. But to get out, you have to pull it from the inside. Well, I was trying to get out like this and just went berserk, made a spectacle, and got a spanking because my daddy told me not to go over there anyway. But that was scary for me, and I would not ride an elevator. I mean, when I got in my 20s, I finally would force myself to ride the elevator. I would appear calm, but inside was that fear of being in that elevator. When I was in high school, I took a trip with the school, a school organization, and we were in Austin, Texas, and we stayed on the 20th floor. And every time we went somewhere on the bus, they would have to wait for me to come down 20 flights of stairs because I would not ride the elevator, I'm telling you. That's the kind of fear will do that. It is debilitating. It will interrupt normal life. Fear was a strong man in my life. I had a fear that my parents were going to die. I wouldn't stay home. Because if my parents went somewhere, I would go with them just in case. Just in case they got killed, because I didn't want to be left alone. I didn't want, I would be just told who I would stay with if my parents died, and I didn't want to live with them. Hey, if y'all go, I'm going with you. But it really was just a fear of them being killed. And so I would go with them. I had a fear of failure. Not being able to do something. And so there were things that I really would like to have done, but fear kept me from trying out for anything. I would admire girls that could try out for cheerleader and try out for choir. My biggest fear was having to stand in front of people. I mean, God is just awesome. Because when I was in college, I was required to take speech. I didn't show up for any of my classes. Because there was no way I was going to stand in front of people. But see, that was just, it's fear. And once that was gone from my life, then God was able to use me how He wanted to use me. So fear is not a good thing. I had a fear of boys. I don't know why. I never had a boy do anything to me. Maybe it came generationally. Maybe there was rape somewhere in my bloodline. I just really don't know. But I had a fear that if I went out with a boy, he was going to try to rape me. I don't know where that came from. But see, fears are there. There's no logic to fear. Then when I got older, when I became an adult, when I got married, my fear was that Mike was going to leave me. I didn't believe he loved me, because that's another story. But I just didn't believe that he loved me. So I had a fear that he was going to find somebody else that he liked better. So that made me clingy. You know, you become jealous and clingy and suspicious, and it's just a big mess. When I had children, I was afraid that after I had my babies that something was going to happen to them and they were going to die. It just piled on and on and on and on. I was fearful of not being a good enough wife, a good enough mother, a good enough daughter. All these fears. You know, all of these losses. You know, Michael J. Fox, the actor. I remember hearing him one time in an interview. This is before he was sick. And he made this statement. Someone asked him about his fame and his fortune and all of this stuff. And he said, you know what it is, though? Every day I'm waiting for it to be over. And I'll lose everything. And I wondered later if that could have been a root to this thing that he has. Because everything that affects your spirit man, will eventually work out into your flesh if it's not dealt with. See, we can't medicate, we can't cure fear. They'll give you a pill so that you can live with your fear, but it doesn't get rid of your fear. And so it's better to find what causes the physical ailment that you have, the root to it, and get rid of that. And fear is a biggie. It is the root to many, many, many physical ailments. And I had a lot of those in my life. I was in bondage to fear. Not only fear of death, but just fear of all kinds of fears. So I had lots of sicknesses. I had colds all the time. I had chronic allergy problems. Every time the flu came around, I got it. Every time the virus came around, I got it. Every time anything came around, I got it. I feared things that I didn't even catch. Incurable diseases, cancer, you know, always looking for something. Oh, God, I have a little pain right there. God, I hope I don't have a brain tumor. I hope I don't have, you know, I hope I don't have breast cancer. Oh, I hope I don't have this and that and the other. Just fear. Stress, terrible stress. In fact, when I was 19, I had a really bad case of the shingles from stress and fear. I had stomach aches. I had, if a crisis happened, the very first thing that would happen to me is I would get loose bowel. Immediately like that. Immediately. Someone could call me on the phone and I could tell by the sound of their voice that something was wrong. I'd say, hello, hang on a minute. Go to the bathroom, come back. What is it? You know, truly, that was the effect it would have on my body. I would get sick immediately. It'll cause irritable bowel syndrome. I was a hypochondriac. Fear will cause you to be a hypochondriac. I was overprotective with my children, over-anxious. Worry, wild imagination because of fear. Just a vain imagination. If Mike got home, if I knew he was supposed to get home at 6 and it got to be about 6:15 and he wasn't home yet and I heard an ambulance, loose bowel. I mean, it was just a torment. A torment. So these things can have an effect on your heart. Stress, the doctors will tell you, a multitude of manifestations in your body. It can affect your heart, your liver, your blood pressure, your pancreas, your stomach, your bowels, allergies, sleep. You'll have trouble sleeping. And a problem with fear is that it will undermine your faith. It undermines your faith. You can have strong faith in one area, but a lot of fear in another. And when those fears come, your faith goes because they can't coexist. Faith cannot operate with fear. Fear is a faith killer. Fear is actually faith in the kingdom of darkness. Your fear is that the devil actually has more power than God. And you believe the lie over the truth. Fear actually is a power. It works just like faith. Faith, when you have faith, your faith will become the vehicle that will pull whatever you're having faith for out of the spirit realm into the earth realm. But fear does the same thing. When you have fear, it has the power that will draw that negative thing into the earth realm. Like it says in Job 3:25, Job said, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come upon me." So we don't want to have fear. See, Satan is the one who uses fear. He uses fear to defeat us, to keep us from being that mighty created being that God created us to be. What he uses is a spirit of magnification. Because whatever you're fearing, like that bee, it's not even the size of the end of my thumb. But he will put that spirit of magnification on it, and it will be bigger than anything that you can imagine. So anytime you have fear, be watchful for that spirit of magnification. Because he's going to bring that magnifying glass, and that will be the thing that you focus on, is whatever you're fearing. Isaiah 14:16 says of Lucifer, "They that see thee on the sides of the pit shall narrowly look upon thee. They shall narrowly consider thee, saying, this is the man who made the earth to tremble and the kingdoms to shake? This? In all our lifetime we were in bondage to fear for the things that he will use to try to keep you down." Faith in God will drive away fear. Your faith in God. Some scriptures were read last night about trusting God. All those five things that he gave us, if we do these, we will not battle fear, because faith in God will drive away fear. You've got to have faith in God, not yourself. Self-confidence is not what you need. Confidence in God is what will cause you to be strong and courageous. As it says in Daniel 11:32, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." There's a little saying that I love whenever I first begin to understand all this fear stuff. And it says, "Fear knocked at the door, faith answered, and nobody was there." That's how it works. If you will respond to fear with faith, it vanishes. It's not even there. Whenever I was delivered of fear, after deliverance, there's discipline. You have to discipline yourself. That stronghold is broken, but it doesn't mean fear still won't come. So I had to change my bad habits. You know, before we get saved, all we are is a creature of bad habits. We have a bad habit of gossiping. We have a bad habit of being negative. We have a bad habit of spouting word-spoken curses because we didn't have an understanding of them. So when you get saved, one of the definitions of repent means change your thinking. You have to totally change your thinking. And so in order to do that, you kind of have to reprogram your mind. Renew your mind with the Word of God. So I called it a bullet. Every time the enemy came with fear, this is what I was going to shoot him with, just like Jesus did. It is written. Da 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 da. So for whatever you're battling with, you can find scriptures that contradict the lie with the truth of the Word of God. I used to write them down on a list. And if you have to stand in front of the mirror and say them to yourself every day until you get it, then do that. It'll be worth your time. One scripture that I found was Psalm 112, verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. See that phone call that would come? He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. So when I would get a disturbing phone call, my flesh would want to go, but I would remember, I called it my bullet. I would get my gun and shoot that bullet at that fear. I would say, I will not be afraid of evil tidings. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. See, that your vain imagination will take you places that you don't need to go. A lot of times, people will worry about things that never even happen. And they'll spend days and weeks and months and sometimes years worrying about things that never even happen. So, get you some scriptures that will counteract that fear and replace them in your mouth. Because when you say it, once you say it, it's going to break that imagination that's trying to come up in your mind when you say it. And I'll tell you something. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So when you say it, you may not feel very courageous the first time you say it. But the more you say it, the more you hear it. And that hearing the Word of God will drop down in your heart and explode with a faith explosion. And then one day it becomes real. And that's what happened to me during that time. There was also, it's a song and it's a scripture from Ezekiel 15. And I don't have the scripture here, but it's like the first, I think it's verse 2 or 3. But it was after Moses split the Red Sea and the people crossed on dry ground. And it said, Miriam sang this song. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider fell into the sea. Don't you know Satan hates that song? He's reminded every time we sing that song of that particular victory over Pharaoh and Egypt and all of that. So, my husband and I went through a really bad financial time at one time, and I would come to the office. I would get him off to work, get the kids off to school, and then I would go in later, and I would walk in, and he would get up from his desk and say, I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. And I thought, uh-oh. Something is not good. But we are to encourage ourselves with songs and hymns, and that's how you encourage yourself. And then we would have a big laugh over it, and it would change the atmosphere. And there is, I just heard a teaching the other day on atmosphere, and it was wonderful. Because whatever the atmosphere is, you can change it. He made a very good point. Let's sing, his wife said. Let's sing. The atmosphere was heavy. There was death in the air. Fear was crouching in and pressing down. So when they started to sing, it changed the atmosphere. And we can do that with our words and with song. And it will drive away fear. So, we're going to deal with fear today. It's going to be kind of a short lesson today. We'll have another little break after this. But right now, I just want everybody to just get ready, because we're going to cast out the spirit of fear. First, let's pray. Let's pray a prayer of repentance. Now, of course, I probably shouldn't assume or presume that everybody here is saved and under the blood of Jesus. You know, as I walk out this life, there are people that I come in contact with that may be under tremendous fear. And there are some things, spirits that people live with, that if you cast those spirits out and they are not repentant, it will cause them more trouble. But spirits that were born into us, that we had nothing to do with, that we did not invite in because of sin, I believe that we can take authority over that tormenting spirit in that person to give them some relief and train them and teach them about fear And I'll tell you, everywhere Jesus went, he cast out demons. And the result of that, deliverance can be an evangelical tool to bring people to Jesus. Because what greater way to be introduced to Jesus than for someone who has Jesus in them to cast out something that has been tormenting them all their life long? I had a friend who had a little girl. She had a boy and a girl. And we were kind of new friends, and I went to see her one day, and she was very troubled, and I said, "What in the world is the matter?" And she started to cry. She could not sleep at night. This little girl was probably about 3 or 4 years old at the time, and she said she had this fear that something was going to happen to her baby. I could relate. And she would get up in the middle of the night just to go look at her to make sure she was okay. And this had been going on since she was born. The nights were a time of torment for her. She didn't sleep well, and this fear that something was going to happen to this baby was just tormenting her to no end. And I told her, I said, "You know what? That is a spirit of fear. The Bible calls it the spirit of fear. It is a spirit of fear that is tormenting you." I said, "And you know what? You don't have to live with that." I said, "Would you like to get rid of it?" And she said, "Yes." So I just said, "In the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit of fear right now in Jesus' name, and I command it to leave you. Fear of going to sleep at night. Fear of something happening to your baby." And I want you to know, she called me and said, "I am sleeping like a baby, and I do not have that anymore." So see, we have the answer sometimes to people's troubles. I was sitting under a tree with some neighbors. My car ran hot, and I knew some people that lived close by, so I went over to their house, and we were outside visiting. Now, they don't deal with deliverance, okay? And I didn't talk about it, but both had come out of Baptist backgrounds, and they were sitting there, and both of these men had to have an MRI. And both of them were relating to one another's fears about being in that tight spot. You know, they put you in that little tight thing and roll you in there. And they were both expressing, "Oh man, that just, I can't even hardly talk about it. I can't even get up under a car." And I just said, "Well, you know what? That is fear. You don't have to live with that." He said, "I don't." I said, "No." So, I mean, you just got to jump in with both feet. If I'd have stopped and thought about it, I would have probably shrunk back from doing it. What are they going to think in all of this? But one man was sitting here, and the other man was sitting there, and I just said, "In the name of Jesus, I command that spirit of fear to leave you now, in Jesus' name. Fear of tight places." And this man over here goes, I said, and that is a manifestation that it's leaving. So, you know, I haven't seen them since then. But when I left, I said, "Lord, thank you." And let that be a done deal in their life so that the next time he goes up under a car, he'll say, "Hey, I didn't even have that response." And see, nothing happened to the man that I was addressing. This man yawned, but this man didn't do anything. But that doesn't mean anything. It could leave. I mean, I've gotten deliverance in corporate meetings here, not even really knowing that it was a problem. But later down the line, a week or so after I get home, something will happen, and wow, I had a different response. I must have gotten delivered of something. So don't be discouraged if you don't have a big ordeal. They can come out on the breath. They can go out of your ear, you know? You just never know how they're going to go out. So, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to cover every person sitting here with your precious blood. I ask you to send mighty warring angels right now to assist in this deliverance of this strong man, this stronghold, this ruler spirit of fear. I thank you for each person sitting here. Lord, I thank you that you shed your blood and broke every form of bondage that came into us through sin in the garden. Right now, let's pray a prayer of repentance. Just say, "Father, forgive me for cooperating with the spirit of fear. Forgive me for being fearful. Forgive me for doubt, unbelief, and believing the enemy has more power than you do. Forgive me for believing the lie of the enemy instead of believing your word of truth. Okay, so right now in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of fear right now in every person. I bind the spirit of fear. I break your power in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and by his shed blood, I command you to come out. Fear of death, go in the name of Jesus. All fear of dying, all fear of tragedies, car wrecks, all fears of dying in a house fire, all fear of falling and accidents, go in the name of Jesus. All fear of smothering to death, all fear of choking to death, all fear of being murdered or killed in any way, in Jesus' name. I speak to all fear of water, fear of drowning, fear of tornadoes, in the name of Jesus. I want you to be thinking right now of the fear, the thing that you fear the most. And when I get through with this, if I haven't said it, you call it out of yourself. Command it to go out of you in Jesus' name. I come against all fear of sickness, fear of getting sick, fear of getting cancer. In the name of Jesus, you go. All fear of Alzheimer's, losing your mind, all fear of insanity, all fear of arthritis or any incurable diseases, you go in Jesus' name. Fear of strokes, go in the name of Jesus. Fear of heart attacks, go in the name of Jesus. All fear of bad sicknesses and dying and wasting away, go in Jesus' name. Fear of nursing homes, go. Fear of getting old, I bind you and break your power and command you to go in the name of Jesus. Fear of home invasions, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. Fear of robberies, go in the name of Jesus. All fear, go in the name of Jesus. I bind you and break your power, for it is written, we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. I come against all fear of loss. Fear of loss. Fear of losing your job. Fear of losing your position. Fear of losing your title. Go in Jesus' name. Fear of losing your investments, your savings, your retirement, in the name of Jesus, you go. All fear of being left with no provision, go in Jesus' name. A fear of losing your home, your car, your possessions, fear of losing your church, your independence, fear of being dependent on somebody else, I bind you and command you to go in Jesus' name. Fear of losing your eyesight, fear of going blind, in the name of Jesus, I break your power. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Fear of failure, all fear of failure, go in the name of Jesus. Fear that you're not going to be good enough for whatever it is you're trying to do. Fear that you're not good enough for God to use you. Fear that you won't ever know what your destiny is, go in Jesus' name. Fear of not fulfilling your destiny, in the name of Jesus, go. Fear of losing your salvation, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. Fear of not having enough food. Fear of not having enough to eat. Fear of not having a place to live. Go in the name of Jesus. Fear of not having enough money to last out the rest of your life. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to go. God is your provider. If he can provide for the Israelites that he brought out of Egypt, going through the wilderness, letting their clothes, they didn't rot, their shoes didn't wear out. He gave them water. He covered them with a cloud. He gave them fire by night. He gave them food from heaven. He gave them water out of a rock. What should we fear? Our God is able to take care of us. I come against all phobias right now in Jesus' name. Claustrophobia, fear of water, fear of heights. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to go. Fear of the dark, Fear of spiders, fear of rats, fear of roaches, whatever your fear is, name it and command it to go in Jesus' name. Fear of dogs, go in the name of Jesus. Fear of snakes, go in the name of Jesus. You go. All fear of animals, any kind of animal. Fear of bad weather. Fear of bad weather, go in Jesus' name. I want you to know you have dominion over the weather. God has given us dominion over the fowl of the air, over everything that moves upon the earth, and over all the earth, it says in the Word. So instead of fearing bad weather and preparing for bad weather, when the weatherman is prophesying bad weather over your area, you just take dominion over the elements. You speak peace to the storm just like Jesus did. Peace, be still in Jesus' name. I say, Lord, I will receive the rain to nourish the earth, but I bind tornadoes, I bind hail, I bind damaging lightning, damaging winds, and flooding in the name of Jesus Christ. And then you can just rest. Storm comes, goes around, dissipates, whatever. Instead of fearing bad weather, take dominion over it. Okay, I come against fear of man, all fear of man. Fear of man, fear of authority figures, fear of the law, fear that comes into you when you see a Department of Public Safety person, that black and white car with the lights on top. You know, if you're not speeding, no problem. I come against all fear of doctors, dentists, fear of needles, fear of crowds, fear of meeting strange people, fear of being called on to do something, fear of standing out. In the name of Jesus, I bind all fear and timidity, go in Jesus' name. All fear and timidity, go in the name of Jesus. Fear of the future, I bind and break the power of all fear over your future in the name of Jesus. Can I tell you that we only have today? We don't even have the promise of tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own worries, right? Anything that's in the future belongs to God. Is that right? So when you step into the future, you're trespassing on God's property. Stay in today. Live in today. So I bind all fear of the future. I bind and break all the fear of the unknown. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the end times. Fear of the end times. I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. I come against diseases. I command fear right now in the name of Jesus to come out of your heart. Fear, come out of the heart right now in Jesus' name. Come out of the liver in the name of Jesus. Fear, you get out of the liver right now in Jesus' name. You come out of the pancreas right now. All fear, come out of the pancreas in Jesus' name. Come out of the stomach. Fear, come out of the stomach right now in the name of Jesus. I break your power. Come out of the bowels right now. All fear spirits, come out of the bowels right now in the name of Jesus. All fear, come out of your brain. Come out of your mind in Jesus' name. All fear, come out of your emotions in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break your power and I command you to go. Go in Jesus' name. I come against all stress-related headaches, migraine headaches in the name of Jesus. I command headaches to go. I command diabetes. You go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all diabetes, go. All insomnia, I speak to insomnia in the name of Jesus. I command insomnia to go, that fear that will not even allow you to sleep, that tape recorder that's going on in your mind and every worry, everything that happened during the day that visits you at night. I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. Sweet sleep belongs to the saints in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you right now. I thank you that fear has been broken. Fear has been dealt with. You have abolished all fear. Lord, right now, I ask for a baptism of love for every one of us. Lord, just baptize each one of us with your perfect love. Lord, fill them up all the way. Drive out every bit of fear. Let the light of your Holy Ghost go in and search for any area that was not touched. And Lord, shine on that place. Shine your love into their hearts and their minds and their spirits and their flesh and their emotions. And drive out all fear. Just a fresh baptism of your love today. We thank you, Father. We thank you. I speak peace. I release peace, Lord, upon your people. I release rest in the name of Jesus. I just speak and bless the people with your rest, Lord. Your rest. Not even our own rest, but your rest, Lord. We give you thanks. We glorify you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Father, for your peace, the peace that you gave. I just ask you to let it fall on them right now. All anxiety has to go in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you. And whenever you realize that it's gone in an area, share it with somebody. We give you an opportunity to tell them about deliverance. So, Lord, it's 4:15, and we'll have another break. I don't know if they're going to serve early. Supper's usually at 5, but I'm going to go ahead and bless the food. And, Father, so we just give you thanks for that food. We ask you to bless it. Bless the hands that prepared it. Lord, let our bodies receive it with peace and nourishment. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I told him we'll just have a break until supper is served. Okay. Great. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.